Well, hello everyone, God bless you, and welcome again to another video teaching I'm going to be doing right now. And tonight I want to introduce to you a teaching I've done in my fellowship going back some time ago now, but the message today is still the same because the Word of God lives and abides forever. It doesn't change. And God is just such a great God, and I've shared with you how you're highly favoured. I share that God is restoring things with you, that God has good news for you. There's a message of hope for you and how to be set free. And this sharing is just such a wonderful sharing because God is a dream giver, and God's going to restore any of your broken dreams. You might have broken dreams right now. You may have had plans for the future that just didn't work out. But whatever dream God has birthed in your heart, He can make it come to pass if you stay in faith, if you believe Him, if you go to Him. If you're not born again, you can be saved and you can go to God and you can just give everything to Him, and He will take care of everything, because God is a God of deliverance. He's a God of light. He's a God of love. He's got vision and He's got direction for your life, and people need vision and direction. And there was a young man in the Bible, everyone knows the story, Joseph, who had dreams that God gave him, and his dreams got broken. His brothers turned on him, chucked him in a pit, he was left for dead. But because he stayed in faith, because he stayed looking to God, and he went through some bad times, he went through some sufferings, but he still trusted in God. And God took him from the pit and He put him into the palace. So if you're in a situation right now that you're in a pit, listen, if you turn your heart to God and Jesus Christ, they're going to take you out of the pit and they're going to promote you to the palace, because that's God's heart for everyone. So the up and coming teaching that's coming on right now is God is the dream giver, and He will restore dreams. Your dreams to you as you believe Him, as you look to Him, as you go to Him, as you pray to God. So I pray you enjoy this up and coming teaching, and if there's any questions you have, there's any direction you need, then you can always contact us at graceloveandtruth.com. my email, telephone number, everything's on there. You can give us a call. But be blessed, enjoy this teaching, sit back, relax, and be blessed. You all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to yet another fellowship. And we have a powerful God. Like tonight, we didn't have anyone lined up to lead the fellowship tonight, and then God just touched my heart to ask Phil. And you know, we want God's voice to be spoken. Even though you hear our voices, is God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, like it says in the scripture. So everything Phil shared tonight fits exactly with what God has put in my heart to share here tonight. And you know, there's so many people in the world that have broken hearts, broken dreams. Every man, woman and child, every person that's born into this world, like Daniel was sharing earlier on, has a void. There's an emptiness. And man, you're never going to fill that emptiness. Not if you're a millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire. You got houses, you got cars, you got everything. You got women, you got the men. If you're a woman, and you're a man and you like the women, and vice versa. See, nothing will fill that void. It's a void that only God can fill. Okay? And there's many people with broken hearts. Many believers that believe in God that have broken dreams. But see, God is the dream giver. And the way you fill that void in your heart is to make Jesus Christ as your Lord. He's the healer of the broken hearts. Jesus Christ is the healer of the broken hearts. And God says, if you believe on Him, if you just got to believe on His name, that God raised Him from the dead, you just believe on that name, that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, you receive eternal life. And what God gives you at that time you believe, He fills you with His Spirit. Okay? And He seals it in there, and that's your eternal life. It begins right now. You have eternal life right now. Now, we have a physical body, which is corrupted. It decays. It goes down. Okay, but we have eternal life. Okay, now there's people that don't have the Spirit of God, that are not born again, and there's eternal death. There's two sides to this. And it happened because of the fall of men. Adam and Eve screwed up in the garden, and now we're in this predicament where you've got all this going on in this world. The devil, he was the highest angel of heaven. He became the God of this world. And he's the God that Jesus Christ pointed out and said, He comes to steal, kill and destroy. So he's the God of this world. He runs the systems of this world. Okay, but our God, the God who created everything, is bigger than him. So God made a way out that we didn't have to have eternal death. And he sent Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for all mankind. God says goodwill to peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Even your unbelievers out there. Even your devil worshippers. Jesus Christ died for you. And if you believe in him, you can be saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit of God. And you can live a life which is more and abundant. And the abundant life isn't, I'm not talking about material wealth and possessions. I'm talking about a life of peace, a life of direction, a life filled with hope. Okay? And faith is believing. Faith is believing. That's all that word means, to believe or believe in. And see, God is a faith God. So he needs your faith. He needs you to believe what he's saying. Then he can go to work. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't respect me above you or anyone else. He doesn't respect you above anyone else. But he that believes on the Son of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that's the starting point. And then you get into relationship with God. See, if you want to move, you have to have a relationship with God. And it's not just about coming to fellowship. It's about living this life daily. And you can. And you can change, and God can change you. Like I've seen the great change in my own son, Danny. It was a right pain in the neck. But now he's the biggest blessing going, and his wonderful wife, Amber, too. And these guys were mad. They were mad. They fight hard. I was brought up in a drug squat. We lived in a derelict house that was abandoned. And my mum and my brother, they just moved in there. We got the electric turned on, and we were squatters, right, Bex? Becky was a little baby at the time. I was 9. Becky just being born. And we lived there. But God took us from the pit and put us in the palace. God can take you from being in the muck and mire to living a life which is a blessing. Where you know, you wake up every day, you're certain of your future. And I want to speak to the believers also. Those that have had broken hearts. You've been let down. You've been discouraged. You've gone to fellowship. You've gone to your churches. And someone has said something. Or something's gone on and the congregation has been all messed about. Or you've been putting your trust in men. Or in the pastor. Or in the evangelists. Instead of the one true God. See, God, if he's put a dream in your heart, he is going to fulfill it. Okay, so it doesn't matter what your circumstances says right now. It doesn't matter what they say right now. God will fulfill the desires that he's put in your heart. If you don't have a dream, God will give you a dream. Because God is the dream giver. He gives dreams. Right? He gives you a vision. He gives you a direction for your life. I want someone, Phil actually, to go to Proverbs 29. And I want you to read verse 18. See, the word of God was written by man, but inspired of God. God told the man what to write. Okay, just like God's working in me to speak these words right now. And just like he worked in Phil, when Phil led the meeting, when Danny shared, when people praised, God is the one that inspires. So we don't have to do nothing from our own strength. I couldn't read or write when I left school at 16.
Proverbs 29. Okay. Proverbs 29.
29, verse 18.
So Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he.
Where there is no vision, where there's no direction, where there's no knowledge of what God says, then people wander aimlessly. They got no direction for their lives. Even as believers, you can feel lost. You feel like you've got no direction. You feel like you can't be where you were before. But God will always take you to a better place. He'll always take you to a higher place. Okay, but God needs you. He needs you to give your life to him. And when Phil read out earlier on, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that means to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. How you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life is that you let him make the decisions for you. So you're going to him in prayer. You see what the word of God says, and you're going to follow that direction. And there's freedom in that. People think, oh, I'm not doing that. That's a bit religious. And people think I've gone mad or I've gone nutty. But there's freedom in it. And I give my day to God. I say, Father, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do this day? And then thoughts and ideas come to my mind. Because God has filled me with his spirit. And he's communicating to that spirit within me to give me those thoughts and ideas to move. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians in your Bibles. Sorry, 2 Corinthians. And this is not a lot. It's just, again, my scriptures I have written down. Okay, so God has given us dreams. He's given us a desire. He's given us a vision. He's got something for every single person. And if you choose to believe him, right? If you choose to believe him, he'll give you the biggest dream that will just blow your cookie. And he's the one that brings it to pass. You go to him, Father, what have you got for me? What is it you want me to do? What can I do for you, Lord? And I tell you what, when you go to God and ask him, somewhere in your life along the road, he's going to say, I want you to do this. And God's big enough to tell you. It may be a voice. It may be him working in someone else to tell you. Because God needs people to do his work, right? And it says in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, that means yes, and amen, unto the glory of God by us. So all the promises of God, God is saying yes to you. God is not saying no, access denied, no, request denied. God is not saying that. He's saying yes to you. How do you receive what God's got for you? Believe him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that you really seek him out. God says that he will reward you for going to him. The other week I prayed, God wants you to pray to him. I taught on God wants you to pray to him. And we went to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where God says you can go boldly unto him without fear, without reservation. You can go boldly unto his throne of favor to find mercy and help in the time of need. God has compassion. He has compassion for you. See, God has been misrepresented. He has been misrepresented through well-meaning people saying that you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to keep this rule, you got to keep that rule. That's not what it's all about. God, you are saved by grace. You don't have to earn your salvation. You believe for it. And that's by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what you do after that is yield your life unto God. Give your life unto God. And then make a commitment that you're going to learn. Make a commitment every day you're going to pray. Make a commitment that you're going to do what he says for you to do. And you'll get great encouragement and direction from God, from the believers, from your overseers that God has placed in the body to help you. God is for you. Like he really is for you. A lot of people think God's against them, or I took a line of cocaine, or I beat this person up, or I slept around with so many people, right? Oh, God can't love me. No, God can love you. And God does love you. He loved you so much that he sent Jesus Christ into the world. Can you see? And then when will you accept Christ? All that stuff's washed away. You're made clean. You are made clean, and you are clean. And then you're clean through the word that's being spoken to you. See, so God is with you, and you can do mighty things, great and mighty things. So, for those people that have had those dreams broken, believers, or you're new people to God, and you want a dream, God can give you the dream. He's the dream giver. And if your dreams have been broken, God hasn't finished with you yet. Because what God has started, God will finish in you. So I want to have a look at a few examples. Before we do that, I want to go to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to read from the Amplified Version. I believe this Amplified Version, the Bible speaks very loud. That's why it's called the Amplified Bible. Because it's amplified. Okay. And in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9. I'll wait for you to get there. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9. You can read it in your King James. But have a listen to this. It says, and let us not lose heart. God says, by the way of the Apostle Paul, let us not lose heart. You know when you get disappointed? God says, don't lose heart. Don't give up on me. I'm still there. I need your faith to go to work. You need to give God permission. When you believe God, you're giving him permission to go to work, right? And let us not lose heart and grow weary. Oh, calm down. And faint in acting nobly. See, when we get discouraged, we don't act nobly. We don't do the right things. We get fed up, we get angry, we get disappointed. So what's the point in doing the right thing? What's the point of doing this? oh, I'm only going to fail at my exams. What's the point of me doing it? We give up. But God says, don't give up. God says, don't lose heart. And doing right. Do the right thing. Hey, it's so easy. We've all done the wrong thing, all right? Haven't we? So start doing the right thing. It's very simple. Just change what you're doing. If you're getting the same results, it means that you're doing the same thing. So if you want to see different results, start doing different things. Simple. For in due time, if we keep doing the right thing when the going's tough, when everything seems to come against us, at the right time and at the appointed season, or the day, right, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faith. I'll read it again, right? And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due season, in due time, and at the appointed season, we shall reap, if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faith. It's like the farmer. If he's ploughed the ground, he's put the season, but he gives up, he's getting tired, or the harvest is never coming. There is going to be a right time that harvest is ready to reap. And if he keeps doing the work, if he keeps being faithful, bang, at the right time, he can reap his harvest. And that's what God is basically saying to you, all right? And then Habakkuk, chapter 2. And I'm going to read this from the Living Bible. I thought I'd use a few different translations. All right, so God is the dream giver. God is the dream giver. Listen, I know people that have been involved with different churches and they've been let down. And then they've gone to another church and they've been let down. And then they've gone to another church and they've been let down. And then they don't go anymore. They lose heart. God does not want you to lose heart. Discouragement is not from the one true God. It really isn't. God is a God of love. God is a God of light. And Jesus Christ is the healer of your broken heart. And God will replace your dream and give you a bigger dream. But you've got to stay the course. You've got to stay in faith. You've got to stay believing. You've got to stay trusting God. You've got to stay trusting what he says. Even when the going gets tough, you say no. Because God's promises are yes and yes. God is not saying no to me. God promised me this, and this is going to happen. I'm going to stand, even if everything in my circumstances says different. That's what real faith is. And we got to dig deep and stand. All right, and God is working in you, and he's directing you, and he's for you too. If God is for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? Right, because whoever takes you on, as a believer, as a Christian, they're taking on God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will lose. Right? It takes some guts to be a Christian. It really does. It takes some guts. And my wife's laughing over there because I usually use another word, but it takes some guts to be a believer, to stand on the promises, to say to people, I am a believer. And see, but we don't want to say to people, I'm a believer. We want to show people that we're believers by our actions, by our living, and by our doing. Habakkuk chapter 2. And in verse 1 it says, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. Okay, it says, I will climb my watchtower now and wait to see what answer God will give me in my complaint. Why don't you climb your high tower? If you're being discouraged right now, if things are coming against you, if it all looks like it's going the wrong direction, go to your high tower. Go to the secret place. Go to the secret place. Just bear with me. Go to that secret place and seek God. And wait to see what he's got to say to you. Don't try and make things happen in your strength. Let God go to work. Because he knows exactly what he's doing. It's like, you know, I have this hole in my tooth and I'm there filling it with different things. I still got all this pain. I'm not a dentist. I don't know what I'm doing. But I went to the dentist today and they kind of made it all nice because they know what they're doing. Sometimes we try and take control. But see, if you want your life, you have to lose your life. In other words, you have to lose the life that you're now living, okay, as an unbeliever, and come a believer and live the life that God's called you to, then you'll start to see the things. That's the only way you're going to see it. You're not going to get it any other way. Now, God will encourage you. He will help you. He will show you. But it takes obedience. It takes commitment. It really takes commitment. That's why we're here every day. We open our doors every Monday, every Thursday. The doors are open. Because we're committed, we're standing, we're not budging. Because we know how God comes through. We know how God answers prayer. We know God is going to do what he promised to do in his word and what he's personally promised to us. I know God's personal promise to me, and it will happen. My circumstances don't even say that, but it's going to happen because I trust God. I've been a believer for 30 years, okay? And I've seen the promises come to pass, what God's promised me. And sometimes I've had to go through stuff where it never looked like anything was going to happen, and all of a sudden, bang, God has done it. So God will do that for you. This is why I'm sharing. So in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through to 3. I will climb my watchtower now and wait to see what answer God will give to my complaint. And the Lord said to me, write my answer on a billboard, large and clear, so that anyone can read it at a glance and rush to tell others. But these things I plan won't happen right away. Okay, I'm just going to stop there. We're just going to stop and start again. Okay, but these things I plan, God is saying, won't happen right away. There's going to be a time that God's preparing us for this dream. Sometimes God may promise you something, but you may not be ready to receive it right at that time. There'll be a time that he's preparing you for that. A time of trusting him. A time of growing in faith. A time of believing him. See? And it says, slowly, steadily, surely, the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. God will definitely bring it to pass. If it's 1 year or 30 years, he will bring it to pass. If it seems slow, do not despair. Don't freak out. For these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. They will not be overdue a single day. God's got an appointed time to elevate you into your dream, the promises that he's given you. And it's not going to hang around. It's going to happen. And when it happens quickly. Okay, so you just stay believing. You stay in faith. Even if everything's going wrong, you just stand your ground. Do not budge. And you will have challenges come against you because we have an enemy. And see, this enemy who still kills and destroys is doing that to the unbelievers. And they blame it on the true God. And the true God is a God of love and a God of light. But because people don't know about this devil that comes to steal, kill and destroy, they have to blame the true God. Well, if there's a God, why does he let it happen? Mm-hmm. Because there's a God of this world. And God has given everyone a free will choice. Everyone can make up their minds what they want to do. Do you want to believe? Do you want to be a murderer? Do you want to be a violent person? What kind of person do you want to be? You've got a free will choice, and God does not violate free will choice. Can you see? So we've all got choices and decisions to make. And everyone will make their own choice. Now, other people might influence your choices. But at the end of the day, you've got to make up your own mind. I can't come a believer because my wife's a believer. Oh, well, I better because she is. That's not a personal decision. I make a personal decision. No, I believe God. I believe you, Jesus Christ. What do I do? And God will help you. He'll lead you, guide you, show you. He'll walk you through the things, right? We've been there, haven't we? And I'm going to give you a quick background of a wonderful man in the Bible. You've probably seen films about him, you know, the Prince of Egypt and all this stuff, Joseph. Now, Joe, you know the story about Joseph, right? Hands up who doesn't know the story about Joseph. Right, everyone does, right? That's good. So I won't have to go too much on about it. So Joseph had a dream. And God gave Joseph that dream. This is not just a cartoon or a film. This is a true living story that happened. And Joseph was so blessed about this dream that he went and told everyone. He told his brothers, you know, I had these dreams and you all bowed down, all these weeks bowed down to me. And then his brothers got jealous and his dad said, you shouldn't be saying that. So his brothers ended up beating him up, chucked him into a pit, right? Beat the crap out of him. He was sold into slavery. They sold him into slavery, an innocent young man. And he went through some stuff. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of what he went through. In the book of Psalms 105, it tells you that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, he was just put into prison and he was a slave to Potiphar. And then his wife tried it on him. And then he said, no, I don't want nothing with you. Then his wife said that he tried to rape her. And then so he was put in the prison. And everyone thought he was just put in the prison and put in charge of everyone. It didn't happen like that. This is what the word says. Psalms 105, verse 16, it says, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. Verse 17 of Psalms 105. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in irons. He didn't have it easy, right? He had a tough time just for telling his dream, all right? Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. See, through that time he went through, even though God showed him this dream that he's going to have people bow down to him, he went through years of suffering, of persecution, of wrongdoing to him. He had wrongdoing to him. Now he could have turned around and said, well, God, that must have just been an ordinary dream. You know, you can't be real. But he stood faithful because God said that he, in all those situations, says, and Joseph was a prosperous man because God was with him. See, and God is with us. So we can be prosperous. In other words, we can get favor where someone would say no to you because that God's with you and he's blessed you. They say yes to you. Can you see? So we can grow in favor with God and with man. So Potiphar looked at old Joseph there and was like, God's with this guy. I'm going to put him in charge of my house. All right, then his wife lied and said that he tried to rape her. And then so he was put in the prison. And then he found the favor with the guard. And the guard said, okay, you're a good guy. Okay, you can look after all these other guys. And to the point that it got him to the palace. So God brought Joseph from the pit to the palace. God can bring you from the pit to the palace, but you got to stay in faith no matter what happens, no matter what comes against you. We live in treacherous times right now. Okay, we live in really bad times. Okay, so we need to get into a relationship with God and make up our minds that we're going to stand no matter what goes on, that my God is going to see me through these things. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in this world. So God is for you. So Genesis 15, let's have a look. So anyway, we know the story that he was promoted second in command to Pharaoh. Okay, and the whole world got fed because of this dream. Joseph interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh. And so not only did the whole world get fed, but his family got fed. And the family of Joseph came the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Okay, and from which the line of Christ will come. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 19, and it says, and Joseph said unto them, he said unto his brothers, because his brothers were really afraid of him, because they knew what they'd done, they'd done him wrong, right? He said, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you fought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. God allowed this to happen so that many other people could be saved. Okay, just like he allowed his son to lay down his life. Okay, Jesus Christ gave up his life. Okay, but God allowed that to happen. And it says, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you. I'm not going to punish you. I'm going to nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. So instead of repaying evil for evil, he repaid their evil with good. And they meant to hurt him, but God allowed that to happen because God had a plan for Joseph. And it was going to hurt him to get to that dream. There were growing times there for him. And sometimes we have a dream that God has placed in our hearts, but the journey to fulfill that dream can be a little rough. Okay? But you stick in there, guys. And God can also make that way smooth as long as we stay faithful to him. He'll give us favor in our tough times. So Joseph, he was a servant to Potiphar, but God blessed him in that situation. In the prison, God blessed him in that situation. In the palace, God blessed him in that situation. So whatever you're going through, keep faith with God. Keep believing. Don't complain. Don't moan. But say, okay, Father, I know that we're still on course. I know that you're with me. I know that you're for me. And the Bible says that God will never leave you or forsake you. Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. God is with you for whatever situation you're going through. Even David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Right? God is with you, guys. God is really for you. Seriously. He's for you. And you just got to stay believing. You got to keep that dream in your heart. And if you get, don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes you feel, oh, I'm just fed up with this. I'm not doing this ever again now. I've been through this situation, that situation. And it still just turns out the same. No, God is faithful. God is faithful. Stay doing the right thing. Have integrity. Righteousness. No, let's do the right thing. That's what righteousness is. And we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's really powerful. Okay. Also, I'm not going to read the whole record. Elijah. Elijah, a wonderful prophet. He killed all the prophets, the false prophets in the land. He done exactly what God wanted him to do. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 19, and Ahab and Jezebel, that little Jezebel, okay, all that Elijah had done. So Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, Ahab was the king, Jezebel was his wife, told all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with the sword. These were the false prophets. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more so, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, when Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life. He took off, right, this is God's man, and came to Bathsheba, and belongeth to Judah, that which belongeth to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Oh, I might die. I don't believe he really meant that. Because if he really wanted to die, why didn't he just let Jezebel catch up with him? Right, he could have died then. So I don't believe that was his whole heart in that. And said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And he laid and slept under a juniper tree. But God hadn't finished with it. God wanted him to fulfill his purpose. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. In other words, you're not dying. You've got a journey to take. And we're all on a journey. And we're on the journey to fulfill the dream God has given us, right? And he arose and did eat and drink and went in strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord, a message from God, God speaking to, came to him and said to him, unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing here, man? Like, come on, what's going on? Why are you here, right? He's got, God knows why he's there, but he's getting him to question himself. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thine prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He thought he was the only one, the only man for God left that was doing the right thing. But God said to him, look, I've reserved 7,000 men that haven't bowed their knell, bowed their knee to Baal. And Baal was a false idol they used to worship, which is basically the devil. Yeah. He said, I've reserved these guys. They're like you. They haven't bowed the knee. They're doing the right thing. But he thought he was on his own. And you know what? We could take a lesson, because sometimes we think we're on our own. We think we're the only ones doing it right. Sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes we think people don't understand us. But listen, God understands you. He knows exactly where you are. And he'll get you out of your pit and he'll put you into the palace. Right, he'll feed you as well. He'll give you the strength to carry on your journey, just like he did with Elijah. It's so one. These records in the Word bring so much comfort and encourage us, right? And that's why I'm going through them. John the Baptist. Okay, go to Luke chapter 7. John the Baptist, a wonderful man. He was a prophet. He was the cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ. okay? And I think there was 6 months between them. And he prepared the way for Jesus Christ. So he went ahead of Jesus Christ and he was baptized in the River Jordan. Great man of God. Fire and passion, this guy. Fire and passion. And he was put into prison, all right? And so in this prison, he managed to get all two of his disciples, and this is what it says in Luke chapter 7, verse 19. And John, calling unto him, two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, before this, when Jesus Christ walked past him, before this happened, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He knew who Jesus Christ was. But now John had a doubt. He was in prison. And he didn't know, is this really the Christ? Is this really the Messiah? You know, he could have thought, he's my cousin. You know, is he really the Christ? And then it says, verse 20, When the men will come unto him, that's Jesus, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us to thee, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? So you can see John had some doubts, right? He was in a bad place. When we get in a bad place, we have some doubts. We might doubt God. We might doubt what I've said to you tonight. We might doubt fellowship. We might doubt one another. We might doubt what the Word of God says. We might doubt God's existence. Because we're under pressure. But when you're under pressure, that's when you stand. That's when you say, no, I refuse. I'm not going to give in to this. I don't care. I'll go where I can go to get my faith built up, where people can encourage me. I'm going to go to the one true God. I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to keep strong. And verse 21, and in that same hour, he cured many, this is Jesus, of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Verse 22, then Jesus answering said unto them, the two disciples, John's disciples, had come to him. Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead rise, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So he gave these guys, you go back and tell him what I'm doing. Because that shows you that I'm Messiah. Right? Because the scriptures say that he was going to do these things. And then verse 24, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Look what Jesus Christ said. Like, John had a doubt about him. About Jesus Christ and who he really was. Even though they were cousins also, he had a doubt. But look what Jesus Christ said about John. What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are glorious apparel and live delicately are kings and courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Wow. He's talking about his cousin. Even though John doubted in Jesus Christ never doubted in him. And even at times when we doubt, he never doubts in you. God's a powerful God. Man, it's so goose pimples up the arms. He loves you. Even when you doubt, he loves you. Even when you want to give up, he's there encouraging you. Powerful. We have a powerful God, man. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Wow. Wonderful. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. So when it says, what went you out for to see in the desert? That's where John was baptizing people. See? But he was a great prophet. And Jesus Christ was saying, look, he's a great prophet. Absolutely fantastic. And then you got the records of King David. King David was anointed king over Israel. And King Saul, who lost the spirit because he didn't do what God says, okay? He was after David. He got jealous of David. And he chased him. But David never lost heart. He strengthened himself in God. He kept in there. And when he had a chance to kill David, he didn't. When David had a chance to kill Saul, he didn't. He said, how can I touch the Lord's anointed? Even though Saul had fallen out with God. He lost the favor. He didn't touch hair on his head. He had respect. Just like Jesus Christ, he could have had disrespect to John because John doubted. But he didn't, because Jesus Christ knew who he was, and he knew who John the Baptist was, and he knew what they were called to do. Just 1 second. Okay, also, there's another record in the Bible of a man called Joshua. Now, Joshua was blessed by Moses to carry on the work. And when Moses died, you can read this in Joshua chapter 1. Okay, he was discouraged. The children of Israel, they mourned and they wept. And God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, look, wake up, he's dead. Now, arise and go. God encouraged him to arise and go. And he said, the way you do that is you meditate in my word. You put that in your heart. And then you do those things. And every place where you put your foot, I've given you. See, God's a God of encouragement, guys. If you're feeling discouraged, you've come to the right place. Because God is going to give you encouragement. Especially if I'm started speaking, because he works in me. All right, and I believe that with all my heart, soul, mind, strength, and he works in you. And you will be encouraged. You will be fed the word. The words from God and the word of God will be fed to you. Okay, Zachariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth, this is John the Baptist's mum, parents. She was barren. But they were promised a child. Bang, they got the child. And they were in old age. And that's where John the Baptist come from. But they stayed in faith. They didn't doubt. You can read that in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through to 25. But now there's another person I will look at now, and then we'll finish. And it's a guy called Job. Right, Job. It's not Job, it looks like it's Job, but it's pronounced Job. And Job, you know, he was a wonderful man, and we're going to just read a little bit about him, and you'll find out what kind of a guy he was. And not only that, but you'll find out. Not only will you find out he's a good guy, but you'll find out where... how good our God is and how bad the devil is, because it tells you. So, Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Oz, not in the Wizard of Oz, whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who reverently feared God and abstained from and shunned evil because it was wrong. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. And there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters, like he had 10 kids, that's quite prosperous. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very great body of servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. This guy was prosperous. He was blessed of God, and he was a righteous man. He did what was right, and God blessed him. And verse 4, it says, his sons used to go and feast in the house of each on his day or birthday in turn, and they invited their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Verse 5, and when the days of their fasting were over, Job sent for them to purify and hallow them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed or disowned God in their hearts. Thus did Job at all such times. He'd done it all the time. Verse 8. Now there was a day when the sons, or the angels of God, came to present themselves before the Lord, God, Jehovah, the creator of the heaven and the earth. And Satan, the adversary, the accuser, because Satan's the adversary, he's our adversary, and he's an accuser, he's saying the wrong things about us, right? Also came amongst them. So Satan come along amongst the angels. Don't forget, Satan was the highest angel in heaven at one time, but he was cast down because he wanted to be bigger than the true God who created him, right? And the Lord said to Satan, from whence did you come? Then Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down there. See, that's what he does now. He can't be in all places at one time. He walks up and down the earth. right? Okay, but our God is everywhere present. Okay? And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered? Now God said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man. God was proud of his man. One who reverently reveres me, O God, and abstains from and shuns evil because it is wrong. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge about him and his house? Who done this? God put a hedge about Job, protection, hedge like a protection, and his house and all that he has on every side. You have conferred prosperity and happiness upon him in the work of his hands. In other words, God has blessed him, right? God's blessed him with happiness and prosperity, and his possessions have increased in the land. God is a God of increase as well. He wants to increase you in your relationships, in your emotions, in your finances, in every part of your life. He wants to increase you. God's a good God, right? But put forth your hand, this is Satan saying to God, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. Like, God, you're telling me all about him, but if you take everything he has, he's going to curse you. And the Lord said to Satan, the adversary, the accuser, behold, all that he has is in your power. Oh, hold on a minute. How's it in his power? Because he's the God of this world. Everything in this world belongs to the adversary, right? Only upon the man himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house on his day. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were ploughing, and the donkeys were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans swooned upon them and took away the animals. Indeed, they have slain the servant with the edge of the sword, and I alone am escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there also came another and said, the fire of God's lightning has fallen from the heavens and has burnt up the sheep, and the servants have consumed them, and I am alone escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans divided into three bands and have made a raid upon the camels and taken them away, yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am alone escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, so all this calamity was happening to Job. Everything was going wrong at once. And we've heard that saying, that, oh, everything's going wrong at once. Right, that's probably where he get it from. And verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great whirlwind from the desert and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. That's his kids dead now. And I'm alone escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, rent his robe, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground and worshipped God. What would you do? How would we react to something like that? God, why? He worshipped God. And it says, and he said, naked, without possessions, came I into this world from my mother's womb. And naked, without possessions, shall I depart. Oh, wow. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed, praised and magnified, and worship be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Right? Because who done it? Did God, the true God, do that stuff?
No,
it was the God of this world. And that answers the questions for a lot of people say, why did this happen? Because there's a God of this world. Our God is a good God, and he can be a good God to you if you allow him to be. If you allow him into your life, you've got to allow him in. Invite him in. Invite Christ into your heart. Okay, let them lead you. Let them lead. Don't be discouraged. The dreams that you may have could have been broken, but God will give you a bigger dream. Because God is the dream giver. All right, God is the dream giver. Job chapter 27, verse 6. There's a lot of story in there. Right, but now I'm going to show you the end. He went through physical stuff. He had boils and all his friends were all taking him out. And he went through stuff at that time. But look how God blessed Job at the end. Job 26, it says, Job 27, verse 6 says, my righteousness, oh, this is not it yet, but this is something I want to read before the end. It says, Job says, my righteousness, all through this, my righteousness I hold fast. All through what I've just been through, I'm going to keep doing the right thing and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. So you've got to hold fast. He held fast his integrity. He kept doing the right thing, even though everything was going wrong. Even though he lost his family, his sheep, his wealth, everything. His wife said to him, you know, why don't you curse God and die? You know, God's done this to you. Why don't you curse him and die? And he said, I will hold fast my integrity. And that's what we got to do as believers. Hold fast your righteousness. Hold fast doing the right thing when everything's going wrong. Can you see? And sometimes they do go wrong, but God is with you and he will deliver you. All right? Amen. And then in Job chapter 42, verse 10, this is where I want to get to. And we're finished then. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. See, these friends of Job's, they are called miserable comforters. Because instead of really comforting Job and helping him through his situation, oh, Job, poor old thing. They want comfort. They want saying, come on, get up. You know, God's with you. They didn't comfort. They were miserable comforters. And when we go through tough times, we can get miserable comforters, can't we, right? And God said to Job, you need to pray for them. God said, I want you to pray for them. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord, the God of this world, had brought upon him. Every man also gave them a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. And it goes on, God just blessed him, and with more kids as well. I want you to go to Jeremiah 29, Bill. We're finishing on that. Okay, you can have these little words. You can for yourself, all right? They're just notes. So, Jeremiah chapter 29. So, God is a good God. He's for you. Don't never give up. Okay, if you've had your dream, your heart broken, Jesus Christ is the healer of broken hearts. God is the dream giver. He'll give you a bigger dream than you had before. He's with you. Let's keep going. Let's stand fast. Let's be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're not wimps. We're Christians. We're filled with the Spirit of the living God. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world. We're more than conquerors in every situation. God would always cause us to triumph. These are the promises of God, which I started off. All the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. In other words, God is saying, yes, yes. You believe my word, I will bring it to pass. God says, if you believe what I say to you, I will do that for you. Because God watches over his word to perform it. God also says that he's not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? And shall he not make it good? God is saying, whatever I've said to you, I'm going to make it good. So we've got to trust God. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, could you read that one?
Yeah. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
See, God's thoughts for you. He's for you
as well.
And he's going to give you an expected end. In other words, you're going to have a great life and your ending of your life is going to be even spectacular. He's with you. He's giving you an expected end. He will fulfill those dreams, but there's something required from you. And that's you stay in faith, you stay believing, no matter what goes on, no matter if it all goes wrong. We've had so many people come to fellowship, come in and out, because they come, they see the blessing, but when it gets hard, they fall off. Oh, God can't be real. But God is real, mm-hmm. because the Bible says he is, and I've experienced it myself. I've been through ups and downs like you never know. Okay, but God's delivered me out of them all, and he'll deliver you out of them all. So have a fantastic week and weekend. Go through the teaching, go through the scriptures, make it your own, and tell somebody else about it. So God bless you. God bless you.